It's Maryland Morning on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Today, we revisit a story about the successful multi-year campaign to prevent a massive incinerator from being built in the South Baltimore neighborhood of Curtis Bay. The young woman who was one of the leaders of that fight is Destiny Watford. She was 16 years old when she started organizing against the incinerator that would have been built in her neighborhood and near her school. In April of this year, Destiny, now 20 years old and a student at Towson University, was awarded the prestigious Goldman Environmental Prize for her tireless campaign against the incinerator. The Goldman is a global prize awarded to one person on each continent. Destiny was the winner for all of North America. The prize comes with more than just unparalleled prestige. It also comes with a cash award of $175,000 to support her ongoing work. Pretty amazing stuff. We spoke last May. Fern Chen, the founder and editor of the Baltimore Brew, joined us as well. She's been writing about the incinerator project for the past 6 years. So, Destiny, talk about what the ill effects of this incinerator would have been had your campaign not succeeded.
Yeah, I mean, the incinerator would have been burning 4,000 tons of trash every day. And all of this trash or this garbage wouldn't even be coming from Baltimore. It would be coming from outside of Baltimore. I mean, it was permitted to release 240 pounds of brain-damaging mercury and 1,000 pounds of lead, which we all know from the crisis in Flint, how detrimental lead can be to our health. So the group that I'm a part of, For Your Voice, which is a student-led group based out of my high school, Benjamin Franklin, we saw the incinerator and we studied it and we studied our community's history. And what we learned was that the incinerator really was a violation of our basic human right to live in a healthy community and was a violation of our right to breathe clean air. When we studied our community, we had learned that just because we live in Curtis Bay, we are more likely to die of lung cancer, to suffer from asthma. And that wasn't okay. It wasn't fair. And we knew that we had to do something about it because the incinerator would only make it worse.
And the incinerator project was fairly far along once you got involved in opposing it, wasn't it? I mean, this had been approved by the Maryland Department of the Environment. It had been approved. It had gotten all the permits and stuff. When you say it was permitted to allow these toxins to be used, that was actually within the guidelines that the environmental agencies that oversee this thing allow. How did you come to know that this was going to happen and find out that this was going to be so deleterious?
So we actually found out through a Baltimore Brew article. We found out that, you know, the project was proposed back in 2009. But by the time that we learned about it, 2012, because the project was a complete and utter failure, it wasn't constructed and it wasn't built. So there's this long process of the project getting more permit, stalling, not having those permits anymore, and then reapplying. And when we learned about it, we were just a group of high school students. And like you said, like, we were up against a lot. I mean, like, incineration is considered renewable energy in Maryland. Our previous governor, Governor O'Malley, who ran for president on a green platform, supported the project, as did our mayor. 22 public entities, including the Baltimore City Public School System, which we were a part of, would have been buying energy from the project.
Yeah, so there were a lot of people who had buy-in to this. And Fern Chen, you have been writing about this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Take us back to the sort of initial history of this thing. There's this firm from Albany, New York called Energy right. Answers. How did they pop up on the scene with this idea?
They made an application to the state, to the Public Service Commission, to get permission to build and operate this 160 megawatt, their ultimate capacity they could go to, trash to energy power plant. And, you know, the term incinerator came along afterwards of people looking at it and realizing this is going to burn trash and we're going to breathe it. But originally, it was really posed as an energy producing and even green in the way it was described.
And it was green because it would eliminated the need for landfill.
It would clear landfill space. So that was sort of the positive reaction came about as a result of that. The mayor, the governor, there was a ribbon cutting, and both of them came and spoke and supported it there. Later in our reporting, we noted how much, you know, each of them got in campaign contributions, and also the Democratic Governors Association also got contributions from this Albany-based company. That was the beginning. And there were also meetings in the community where there was some division. There were a lot of people sort of talking about their health problems. problems, other people talking about the potential jobs that would come from this and saying we should approve it because of that.
So what happens, Destiny, what you initially started to do was you first of all went to the school system mm-hmm. and you had a meeting with the school board and you said this isn't a very good idea, and they agreed with you. You were able to convince them. Then you went to 21 other entities that had contracts to buy energy from this energy producing plant. What was your first reaction when you would go to these entities, these companies? Some of them were nonprofit arts organizations. For example, I understand the BMA, the Baltimore Museum of Art, was one of them. How did they first react when you presented them with the consequences of buying energy from this new place?
I guess the reaction we typically got was one that we see a lot when we were canvassing. Really, I mean, like, how many people do you know question where their trash goes? Because I didn't when I started the project. And it was that similar sort of reaction, at least like initial reaction, of not really questioning it, which is what our campaign and what the solutions that we've come up with is all about. Questioning why are we dealing with waste in this way? Why and how can we produce energy in a way that doesn't harm others? So it was just asking that question, but also working together within our communities and with schools from across the city to really change the hearts and minds of like the people who made decisions, but also of folks within our own communities, making it absolutely clear that the incinerator, when it was proposed as something that was green, as something that would be renewable, that would resolve the waste and energy crisis.
Yeah, it looked good. It was approved by all these agencies. I mean, what could be wrong? Right.
But I think one of the coolest things that I'm really, really proud of our campaign is that we have helped ourselves and other people see that the incinerator and developments like it are failures. They're sending us in the wrong path forward. And we have to really look at true alternatives if we're ever going to progress.
So, Fernshin, this all happened around the time of the recession. And actually what Destiny's group, Free Your Voice, was able to do was to get the permit withdrawn. Right? Because it turns out that they had gone longer than 18 months without progressing with the project. That's the thing that actually finally squashed the deal.
Right.
Do I have that right?
Right, yeah. MDE declared it expired. They recognized what, you know, really was the reality, which was this 18 months had passed, well over 18 months, with no construction activity happening over there. And, you know, some people looking at this sort of say, well, it was the economy. They weren't going to do anything anyway. Maybe they couldn't get a bank loan. But for whatever reason, that, I guess, was your procedural wedge, was the fact that they had let so long go on without any construction activity there.
So the permit expired. And you're not just opposing this incinerator, you're also proposing a different use. What are your ideas for how that land and how that area should be used?
The land itself is 90 acres. So, I mean, something that we've said a lot is that that site could be the site of the nation's largest incinerator, or it could be a solar farm, a recycling plant, a composting facility. I can talk about that more in a second, but I really want to emphasize the importance of these solutions that we're talking about and these alternatives that we're talking about, because we recognized early on in the campaign that it wouldn't be enough to just stop the incinerator. I mean, so many developments like the incinerator have come into our community, pushed people out of their homes and sacrificed our lives and in our health in the process.
Yeah, any number of people in Curtis Bay have been displaced to build chemical plants and stuff that have other biohazards over the years. I mean, there's a long history of that mm-hmm. in your neighborhood.
Within the Curtis Bay region, yeah. So there used to be two communities, Wagner's Point and Fairfield, that were pushed out and no longer exist. I say that because, you know, the Goldman Prize, it's amazing that we won, and I'm really, really proud. But what that prize highlights is that there is a problem that we're facing, which is how we deal with waste and how we produce energy. I mean, right now, the deaths related to air pollution in Baltimore is higher than the homicide rate. And 1/3 of the air pollution in Baltimore is from the incinerator that we already have. The things that we toss away, things that could be recycled, most of it goes to that incinerator. We have this amazing opportunity to create developments that would benefit our communities, that would create jobs, more jobs than the incinerator ever would, and, you know, that don't put our lives at risk. I remember, so when we went to San Francisco, we had a tour of this.
This is last month when you went to receive the prize,
yeah.
The Goldman Prize. Huh?
Yeah, so there's this tour that goes along with the Goldman Prize. And I took a tour of this recycling plant called Recology. And it really was moving how to see an alternative to how we can deal with waste. And also we had the chance to meet, you know, employees that work there. And so many times when I hear about, or when we would canvas and we'd hear community members say, you know, well, we need the incinerator because we need jobs. Going to this plant really helped me to understand that there doesn't have to be a sacrifice of health or jobs. We can respect our right to live in a healthy community, but also produce a lot of jobs at living wages, and that people are actually happy and dignified in those jobs. By going to ecology, I also, you know, learned about the relationship that I don't really see as much here in Baltimore between, like, strong relationships with the community, with businesses, and with the government in making sure that these rights are protected and are respected. And I think it would be a true disservice to us in the future of Baltimore if we don't push for things like recycling, like composting, that benefit us.
It's just been a few weeks since you were awarded this huge chunk of change, $175,000. Have you thought about what you're going to do with that money, how you're going to allocate it?
I mean, we're still trying to figure it out, but the idea is to use it to push for what we're fighting for, which is the right to live in a healthy community, which is positive developments like recycling and composting. So we are working to bring developments that would bring a lot of jobs, and not just any jobs, but well-paying jobs.
Towson University student Destiny Watford is winner of the 2016 Goldman Environmental Prize for her work with Free Your Voice, a grassroots organization formed to oppose construction of an incinerator in Curtis Bay. Fern Shen is founder and publisher of the Baltimore Brew, an independent online news source. We spoke last May. We've got more information and links to Destiny Watford's work and to Fern's reporting on the failed efforts to build what many believe would have been the nation's largest trash incinerator. Come to our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up after a break for the news, a conversation with Baltimore civil rights pioneer Helena Hicks, who recounts her role in a 1955 sit-in that helped to desegregate the Reed's drugstore chain. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.